We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, presented by the Keystone Sports Network. Quarter number four, Greg Pickle, Penn State football beat writer for Penn Live and the Patriot News, better known as the great Greg Pickle. I have been sitting in today for Dustin Hockensmith, who is on vacation. We're not going to reveal where he is, but we know he's somewhere where there's sun. It's hot. He's doing a lot of things he normally wouldn't want to do,
bathing,
but that's what
dads
do.
You're lucky I'm still here, Andy, because the Supreme Court has now said that sports gambling is okay in New Jersey, and there's about to be a push. So I'm about to head on vacation to Atlantic City, but I guess we should get through this segment first.
Meet me tonight in Atlantic City.
Alrighty, I'll see you there.
Really? They're going to get a push from that?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Nice. Interesting. So while we've been talking this week, and I thought this would be a good chance to talk about the coaching staff, because it was addressed by James to a degree in the caravan, and we wanted to talk about it.
Right.
That there was turnover for the first time that sort of wasn't forced by James making a decision to fire somebody or eliminate someone who was very close to him, which I still think was very painful for him to do in John Donovan. And then there was a couple additions by subtractions in Herb Hand and Shoup both leaving. This is not uncommon in college football for there kind of to be some turnover in a couple, two, three spots on a coaching staff. It's new for Penn State, and to a degree, I also think it's very new and a little bit uncomfortable for James. And I think what he said at the caravan revealed that. Would you agree or disagree that, you know, this is new for Penn State, and at first the fan base was like, well, you knew Joe Moorhead was going to go. And if you didn't and you're a Penn State fan, you just aren't paying attention.
Yeah.
He was leaving.
Right.
He had to leave, and he was always going to leave, and I'm shocked they got a second year out of him. It was a bonus second year.
Right.
That guy is a head coach.
No question about it. I think that when Penn State brought Joe Moorhead in, it knew full well that he was going to be the head coach of its offense for a season, maybe two. Let's not forget he chatted with Purdue and a few other schools after his first season
Correct.
At Penn State. Good move by him, waiting out Purdue.
Yeah, get an SEC job.
State. Yeah, right.
Get an SEC job.
I will say, though, that to go back to sort of to have all this conversation about coaches and money and all this kind of stuff, that Purdue is dumping a ton of money into his football program. Now,
they
granted,
are.
They're about, you know, when James said that, you know, probably only they're behind only Rutgers or ahead of only Rutgers in terms of spending, I don't know. I'm assuming he meant the Big Ten East. I would have to think so because they're ahead of Purdue and
Correct.
Probably Illinois, too.
Purdue's still stuck in the 80s.
Exactly. But they're getting closer
they
to
are moving.
Modernizing, if you will. So, still, good of Joe Moorhead to, I mean, I don't know much about Starkville, and I'm sure it has its drawbacks and flaws, but I can't imagine West Lafayette outranks it in any way, shape, or form.
S-E-C.
Okay, fair
enough.
End of story, yes. So he was always going to go.
He was.
I think the thing with Bob Shoup was you just always got the feeling, I mean, ever since his days when he was a head coach at, Columbia or William & Mary, whatever it was, I don't know. I just always got the feeling he was eventually going to be on the move, too. He didn't strike me as a guy like a Brent Pry, who I think could be a defensive coordinator for another 5 years and then go be a head coach. Now, granted, Brent's been interviewing or at least has had feelers back and forth with schools about head coaching jobs.
Oh, he's window shopping. He's been window shopping.
Yeah,
that's
so,
for darn sure. Yes.
I mean,
he's been kicking tires.
Right. So you put it all together, Andy, and this is just the new norm for Penn State. And
Correct.
Guess what? It's been happening in college football for a really long time.
That was my point.
And this is something that just starts to hit Penn State now. But yeah. I think that this is something to get used to more than anything else.
I think it's also new for James Franklin as a head coach because at Vanderbilt he was rock solid. He brought a lot of that staff with him, obviously. He brought three quarters of the staff with him from Vanderbilt. So he hasn't dealt with this kind of turnover as a head coach either. That was not under these weren't his decisions. In other words, none of this was his. I'm sure he knew Joe. Do you think the Josh Gattis thing bothered him that much? Not Josh Gattis the person, because you know what I mean. Josh Gattis the professional move. Do you really see going to be a wide receiver coach at the defending national champions and who've won, what, four of the last seven national championships, and be a co-offensive coordinator or whatever and coach the wide receivers? Is that a lateral move?
I don't think so, because of the money alone.
Correct.
The one thing I would say that is that that's really what the rub is, I think. It's not that Josh Gattis left for Alabama. It's not that Josh Gattis didn't go there to be an offensive coordinator. I mean, look, is James probably frustrated that, you know, they couldn't title, you know, up title and maybe add a little bit of money to Josh Gattis' salary to keep him? Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's Alabama.
Right.
So you're going to, if you lose guys to Alabama, I'm sorry, but the net of your loss is sort of, to me, it's outweighed by you lost a guy to Alabama. It's right. Okay. You know, if you lose him to Purdue. Oh, okay. What's going on here? You right. Lose them to the pinnacle team in the sport, to the pinnacle coach in the sport. It is what it is. But the rub, not to get too far off track, the rub.
No, go ahead.
Is that the word is now out there that that Josh Gattis, by making $525,000, received what is probably considered a significant raise compared to what he was making at Penn State. The word, and look, it was always out there in the back channels when these, I mean, these coaches aren't dumb. These agents aren't dumb. They know who can give what out.
Right.
But it is no mistake that this keeps coming up in stories and that James Franklin was addressing it just this past week at the coaches' caravan. I mean,
money matters, dude.
Money does. It
money
does.
Matters.
You can, you know, and the thing I will say, though, is that Penn State, as far as I understand it, has put out a significant amount of money to keep Sean Spencer and Brent Pry around. But the other flip side of that is that you can't keep everyone. You know, you can't keep everyone happy. And money you spend here is money you're not spending there. And at the end of the day, Penn State probably has what I would call an above average salary pool. But maybe it's not. Maybe it's just average. I certainly don't think it's well above average.
Correct.
And when it comes down to it, if guys can go somewhere that might be seen as an upgrade in terms of the program and also receive a pretty nice pay bump, they're going to do it more often than not, and it's up to James Franklin, who's proven very good at it, to find another candidate to replace that guy.
So Charles Huff also left. He was special teams and running back coach.
Yep.
He also left and followed Joe Moorhead to Mississippi State. I don't know what the rub it, but I think what James said this week about lateral moves was I think he was sending a message not to the fan base but to the university.
Yeah.
In terms of money and the talent pool that you need to keep, because the coaching staff, as he constructed it the last two seasons with Moorhead as the OC and the way the dominoes fell underneath him, the talent development on the offensive side of the ball, and I would even say the only step forward then a step back would probably be a Matt Limegrover, but the talent development was borderline ridiculous.
Yeah.
For the talent that they had.
Agreed.
So that's what he's talking about. So let's talk about some of the – let's talk a little bit about the new guys. So
yeah.
You start with Ricky Ronnie. He has a new – he's been with Joe – I mean, excuse me, with
James.
James since Vanderbilt. But this is a new job for him.
Yep.
He was always in a comfortable spot. I don't think this is a job that he can't do. I don't think this job is beyond him. But guess what? Guess what he is? He's a coach that should be comfortable in his own skin with his head coach. He should be comfortable in the offense that they run. But guess what he is? A first-year offensive coordinator.
Right.
And guess what first-year offensive coordinators are? They're greenhorns.
Yep.
He's got one game under his belt. He's a greenhorn. The quarterback's going to help him. The talent on the outside's going to help him. But he's still a greenhorn. And how much of a stamp does he want to put on this offense? There's going to be a ebb and flow curve. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, and I think the one thing that will make September so interesting, besides the fact that we have a game against Pitt, a Friday night game, oh, and by the way, Ohio State waiting at the end of the month,
yes,
is that there were times when I got off track there for a second. When Ricky Ronnie in the Fiesta Bowl, you know, said after the game that there were times when the communication maybe wasn't the best or he made a bad call. You know, he was – and look, coaches are always going to take blame. But at the same time, Ricky Ronnie is about as a straight shooter as you'll get. And he's never going to come out and say, my guys blew it. He's always going to put the blame on himself.
Correct.
But there's ways in which he will do it that you can discern whether he thinks that it was him or a coach's fault or if the players just didn't execute. So, and more often than not in the Fiesta Bowl, from my opinion, my standpoint, again, I'm trying to read between the lines here, but for me, I felt like there were a lot of instances in the Fiesta Bowl. Look, Penn State won the game. They scored a lot of points. But there were still instances where you could tell that he was kicking himself for a call he made, a decision he made, things like that. So I do think that the month of September will be fascinating to watch how he's able to overcome whatever issues he felt there were in the Fiesta Bowl.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show presented by the Keystone Sports Network on air, online, and on TV with Fox 43. When it comes to Penn State football, we've got you covered. On the Fiesta Bowl, there was 50 to be had, and he only put 35 on the board.
Sure.
And he knew that. The way that offense was humming, there was 50 to be had. Let's talk about some of the new guys. Phil Galliano, been around the program for a year. He takes over the special teams coach. He was at Rutgers for a long time with Schiano, went to the Bucks for a while, has NFL experience. Me being a Bucks fan, I'm in love with this guy as a special teams coach. I think he is a NFL caliber coach that you are lucky to have coaching at this level, even though Penn State's a borderline top 10 perennial program. They're lucky to have him. I think he is a huge hire in terms of special teams. They've been better because they started at rock bottom. There's another level you want to go to. This is the guy that's going to figure it out.
Agreed. There's no question about it. And I think that when you talk about Penn State special teams, they have been pretty good over the last few years as Charles Huff and some other guys have developed them. Keep in mind, Charles Huff and Josh Gattis were the two guys that really were part of the special teams push.
Agreed.
Now you have Phil, who has NFL experience, but it's still his first rodeo at Penn State. It'll be something that's interesting to watch.
He'll be fine. Trust me. He's a great coach. Tyler Bowen, he's a new offensive recruiting coordinator and the tight end coach. Me, I'm the one. I think he's got his work cut out for him. He cut his teeth under Moorhead. He was at Fordham with the O-line. Then he was the OC in 16. He was at Maryland last year. This guy's got a lot of heat in his kitchen, I think.
I think that the fact that he's done so many different jobs, though, Andy, will make him work out just fine for Penn State. He's just a guy that has experience all over the place. He's a rising star in this business. Penn State's lucky to have him on its coaching staff. It will need to continue to find ways to showcase him because I don't think he's a position coach for long. He's an eventual coordinator, I think.
Cool. Coach Sider, he's been coaching running back since 2010. He's one of those guys that's a recruiting hammer.
Right.
That's he, but he's no mess, but I think he's a very underrated running back coach. He's been coaching at Marshall, West Virginia, and Florida running back since 2010. I don't worry a bit about him.
No, not at all. I think that he's about as good of a find as you can get. And then I'll just be real quick on the last one, David Corley.
Yep. Franklin guy.
Yep, Franklin guy, top of the list, no question about it. We hear James talk all the time about how he has a list of candidates to replace guys that leave.
Yep.
There is no question that David Corley is a guy he knew he was going to hire as soon as he has a spot open on the staff.
All right, that'll do it for our show this week. Thanks to everybody at the Keystone Sports Network. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Andy.
All right, that'll do it. Check back with us on Wednesday. We'll have Ross Tucker with us. Join us then.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all you can eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.